Artemis is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
I'm sure you've heard the quote by the famed colonial era voice Edmund Burke, the quote attributed, actually there have been a few, but one of which is this. Edmund Burke said, "All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." Well, welcome to the program. Alex McFarland sitting in for attorney, pastor, broadcaster Abe Hamilton III. We've got a great show. For one thing, there's a lot in the headlines to talk about, not only from a spiritual perspective, but frankly, legal and constitutional considerations. And with us, I'll bring him to the mic in just a moment, is a longtime friend and valued colleague in ministry and life, attorney Richard Harris, and we'll talk about Truth and Liberty and Richard Harris in just a moment. But I want to welcome everybody to the program. I am very honored to be with you tonight, very humbled that Abe Hamilton would entrust me with his program. If you recognize my voice, it might be from a show that I do called Exploring the Word, which is now in its 15th year, heard live Monday through Friday on the American Family Radio Network. And so we appreciate all the people that follow Exploring the Word. We had a great show today. I had two people on live radio pray to get born again, two people on the radio earlier this afternoon that prayed to get saved on live radio. And that's why we do what we do. You know, whether it's doing a program or preaching a sermon or teaching a class, we here believe in the Great Commission, that everyone needs to know about Jesus. And Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And do you know what? Protecting our liberties and our freedoms is really a part of that. Periodically, ministers will write to me, and listen, I've pastored two churches and spoken in many churches, but ministers will write to me and they'll say, well, Alex McFarland, I thought you were a gospel evangelist. Why do you care about politics? Why are you always talking about government and things like that? I thought we were called to the Great Commission. Well, here's part of why we do what we do, and perhaps attorney, pastor, academic Richard Harris will weigh in on this as well, but we can, I believe, much more fruitfully live out the Great Commission when we have the liberty and the freedom to talk about Jesus. We can evangelize people and help sinners find salvation when it is legal to evangelize and there are not obstacles to the gospel. So many reasons to be stewards of our freedom and obedient participants in Christ's Great Commission. And to weigh in on this and more, and especially some cases regarding Colorado, where he lives, we've got our friend with us, Richard Harris. Richard and I are colleagues in the context of Caris Bible College. And also, in addition to leading the School of Practical Government out there, Richard is the leader of Truth and Liberty, which is a multifaceted ministry fighting for freedom and empowering people to be salt and light in the culture. He's a longtime friend and colleague. Richard Harris, thank you so much for being with us tonight on the American Family Radio Network.
Amen. Well, Alex, thank you for having me. It's a real honor and great to be with you again.
Well, and I've got the privilege of serving alongside you on the board of Truth and Liberty. And for those that may be unaware, talk about Truth and Liberty, and we'll weigh in on many issues. Plus, later on in the program, folks, we will take phone calls. But for a moment, bring people up to speed on the work of Truth and Liberty Coalition.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Alex. Well, Truth and Liberty is really an adjunct of the Andrew Womack Ministry. So it's an honor and of a lifetime for me to be able to serve under Andrew Womack, and he's a great Bible teacher. And a few years ago, he decided to launch Truth and Liberty. It was really in response to the Supreme Court decision in Obergefell legalizing gay marriage. That's such a benign way of describing it. It was actually an offense against God that our Supreme Court committed by having the gall and temerity to overturn 6,000 years of human history and think that man has the ability and the right to redefine a divinely ordained institution like marriage. And so Truth and Liberty was founded because the church was asleep, and Andrew wanted to equip, mobilize, and unify the church to stand for truth in the public square. So that's what we endeavor to do through a lot of different strategies and techniques. But we're continuously trying to encourage and motivate and connect people to resources and all the amazing, wonderful organizations that are out there, like American Family Association and others that are working hard to restore the gospel in this nation and turn America back to God.
Richard, do you feel like more than in previous years, conservative Christian constitutionalists are linking arms and working together? And I mean, there's so many resources like all that you do. And you put out some awesome emails. I love to get the briefs that you email out. And of course, there's ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, and there are, you know, everything from, you know, Hillsdale College and the great Imprimis, the briefs they put out. Do you feel like maybe more than in previous years, the church and those of us that believe in the U.S. Constitution, that maybe we're better positioned than we ever have been to fight for freedom and keep our, you know, religious freedom, freedom of expression, these things legal?
I think you're exactly right, Alex. And, you know, I'll go a little deeper on that and say that I think, you know, in the last, certainly in the last 6 years, but even a little bit before that, persecution, weaponized government, if you will, but not just government. You know, we refer to cancel culture because it's not just government. It's the news media, the entertainment industry, even the sports industry and others, medicine, science, education, all over the place has been targeting conservative speech, but in particular Christians. We've seen persecution against Christians in the United States of America, something we never thought we would see, and levels unprecedented before. But, you know, in the whole experience during the COVID pandemic of mandatory shutdowns, churches, houses of worship being declared non-essential in America. Who would have the gall to say that? It's amazing. While box stores and strip clubs and marijuana dispensaries and abortion clinics are essential and deemed, and, you know, they're allowed to stay open.
Liquor stores were open.
Yeah. Liquor stores, gambling casinos. This onslaught has had the, I think, from Satan's perspective, surely, the unintended consequence of uniting the church. Instead of always operating in our tribes and denominations and all this sort of thing, I've seen more unity come about in the last few years than ever before. And people care a whole lot less about denominational labels and minor doctrinal differences when the very freedom to preach the gospel is at stake. And this unity is a very powerful thing. So I'm thanking God for it.
Indeed. Let's talk about Colorado, if we could. I was thrilled that we could have you on tonight, and I appreciate you making time for this. But Richard, on May 28th, so yesterday, there was a news brief, ADF. I'm old enough. I remember it was called the Alliance Defense Fund, and then now it stands for Alliance Defending Freedom, a great organization. Yep. But they have filed a suit on behalf of an apparel company, XXXY Athletics of Colorado, where you are. The Colorado law violating the right to speak the truth, that radical truth that men and women are different. And this potentially has implications for the rest of the nation. May 16, Colorado Governor Jared Polis signed HB 251312 into law that basically amends the Colorado Anti-Discrimination Act to define gender expression and chosen name as something that the rest of us are legally bound to acknowledge, even if we know it's not right. Help us understand this particular law, this particular case, and its implications for the rest of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. The ADF case is the second one that I know of to be filed. There was another one 1 or 2 days previous to that, which has a coalition of plaintiffs, including Defend Education, Colorado Parents for Education, I forget the entire name of CPAN, and then our good friends at Protect Kids Colorado, a strategic partner of ours here, and another individual, sued as well over HB 1312, as we call it. And Colorado has some extremely aggressive pro-LGBT laws, really sort of LGBT indoctrination laws is what it is. The Colorado Anti-Discrimination Act makes it illegal to discriminate against people on the basis of gender or gender expression, along with, of course, sexual identity and marriage status and all kinds of other things. Colorado is where the Jack Phillips case, the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, originated out of. So this is the same place, the same stuff, where they're trying, you know, they tried to compel Jack Phillips, a Christian cake artist, to design a cake that would celebrate a homosexual wedding. He said, I can't do it. I'm a Christian, and I can't participate in this activity. I'll make any other cake you want, but I can't make a wedding cake for you. Mm-hmm. 3 trips to the courthouse with Jack, and then also 303 Creative, a wedding photographer who on her website was like, I will not do gay weddings. And they sued her as well. She went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court and won a decision by the Supreme Court saying that's unconstitutional. But here in Colorado, they're a little bit thick in the head, I guess, and they're not getting the message. They just passed HB 1312, which says, well, gender expression is really any way that you choose to express your gender, from clothing to hair to whatever it might be, including your chosen name. So chosen name is now added to the list, meaning if your given name is Bob and you want to go by Sue, then everybody in the universe has to now call you Sue. And there are some exemptions in the law for religious organizations. I was just analyzing those right before you called, Alex. Mm-hmm. But other than that, the general public, anyone that offers any kind of business that's called a public accommodation, any employer, anyone who provides housing, and then anyone who speaks publicly about any of those services, so they call that advertising discrimination, must comply with this law. So this is controlled speech. It's the government coming in and telling us, you must say this and only this, and if you deviate from it, we will fine you. We will punish you. It's LGBT totalitarianism or LGBT Marxism at its worst, and it leaves no room for freedom of speech or freedom of conscience.
We've got a break, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to get Richard Harris's opinion on a medical school that is imposing this, and it's really compelled speech. Because Richard, I spoke at UNC Greensboro, where I went to undergrad, about 2 years ago, and there was a male student, clearly a male, unequivocally male, complete with 5 o'clock shadow, but dressed as a female. And, I was getting yelled at by other students because I referred to this person as a he. But it's compelled speech, isn't it, to call somebody a gender that they clearly aren't. Our freedoms up for grabs, folks. This is the Hamilton Corner. Alex McFarland sitting in for Abe Hamilton. Our very special guest, Richard Harris, attorney, pastor, leader of the Practical Government School at Karis Bible College. Later on in the show, we will get to your phone calls and questions. And as always, you can listen to this show again at afr.net. This and other great programming is archived there. So you may want to send a link and share this. But stay tuned, a brief break and more on the American Family Radio Network. Don't go away.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
What are some biblical characteristics and some biblical standards that help us see and define what a godly man looks like? Here are a few. Number one, he has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. Number two, he seeks to read the Word of God daily for himself. Number three, he spends time daily in prayer. Number four, he seeks to have a time daily to bring the family together to read the Word of God, teach from the Word of God, and pray together. Number five, he takes and or makes time to train and instruct his children, teaching them about God, the Word of God, and teaching them wisdom for all areas of life. Number six, he seeks to lead and take his family to church regularly, such as worship service on Sundays and Bible studies on Wednesdays. Number seven, he has a sense of mission in his life.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. We're going to resume our conversation with attorney, pastor, broadcaster Richard Harris. But I want to thank everybody for their enthusiasm for our summer conference on biblical worldview. I call it Conversations That Matter. A couple of weeks ago, we had Dinesh D'Souza in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. People came from as far away as Indiana. It was just great. And we've got on June 15, this is not that far away, we've got Gary Chapman. And Gary Chapman famously wrote the book, The Five Love Languages. I tell people I think Gary Chapman has probably saved more marriages than almost any other Christian author. And we want you to hear him, the five love languages. He'll be speaking, and there will be open Q&A. Then in August, how about this? We've got Charlie Kirk coming. And so Myrtle Beach is kind of like Branson, Missouri, in that there are a lot of theaters here, and we've rented a couple of theaters to do these biblical worldview presentations. The website is alexmcfarland.com/conversations, conversations that matter. Later on in the end of the summer, we'll have Lauren Green of Fox News. So please, as we say, pray, promote, plan to attend, because like Richard Harris and I were talking about earlier, we need the church to be informed, to be courageous, to stand strong and stand bold for our freedoms so that we can share the gospel and see people saved and see an awakening in our country. So again, for the summer speaker series, alexmcfarland.com/conversations. Our guest this hour is Richard Harris, attorney, and I can also say this, author. And I know, Richard, you've got a book out. I saw the cover. It looks great. Is it Faith for America? Is that the title of your book?
Maybe a little 60-page or so booklet, looks like that, Faith for America.
Yeah.
And it's about how that our nation was built on God's word and on faith. And at many crucial times during our nation's history, the faith of God's people is what has carried us through, and how God's hand has intervened to save us, deliver us, and turn us back from our sin and provide us with victory. And you know, the times that we are going through right now, you know, I think with the election of Donald Trump is really miraculous in many ways. And but before that, leading up to that, you know, I would hear people all the time, Alex, and I know you did too, say things like, the end is near, you know, God is judging America. We're over the cliff. We've lost our country and these kinds of things. And I wanted to write the book to encourage people. We've been through harder times before, and God is able because we have a covenant with him, and he's going to honor that covenant. If we'll do our part, he is guaranteed to do his part, and nothing is too hard for him, so we need to be encouraged.
Well, you know, Lazarus had been in the grave for several days, and Jesus said, come forth. And so well, it's always too soon to quit. It's always too soon to give up, because our God is able, and I agree, Richard, that America is a nation in covenant with God. And from your book, Faith for America, by the way, where can people get this wonderful resource?
Sure, they can get it on the Truth and Liberty website. I'm not sure if it's quite up yet, but that's truthandliberty.net or the Andrew Womack Ministries website, which is awmi.net.
Mm-hmm. You know, before the break, we were talking about HB 1312. And,
yes.
You know, I was reading about it earlier, and we've come up with just some crazy words like dead naming. And when, you know, someone, for instance, there's a lot of spiritual implications. I mean, look, there are some things about our life that we just can't choose. When we were born, where mm-hmm. we were born, our gender, male or female. I mean, there's just some things about life that the dear Lord chose on our behalf. Legal considerations aside, Richard, what do you think the spiritual implications are that people essentially are saying, no, God cannot call the shots. God nor anyone else can label anything about me. I was born a male. I'll identify differently. You know, I mean, aren't there spiritual implications when people want to be just militantly autonomous?
Well, absolutely. You know, at its core, it's a rebellion. It's a rebellion against God, against his created order. And they want to take their own desire for rebellion and require the entire world to comply with it, to conform to their rebellion, even though their rebellion has no basis in reality. It, you know, mm-hmm. gender now to these folks is not, do you have an XY or an XX chromosome? No, it's how do you feel on the inside? Do you want to be a woman? Do you want to be a man? How do you feel? And who do you feel at home with, really? a subjective feeling that could change with the wind, you know? But as long as I feel that way, the entire world has to go along with my delusion. It's literally insanity. And, you know, there was a bombing that took place at a fertility clinic, not an abortion clinic, a fertility clinic out in California a few weeks ago. Yeah. And the young man that was killed in the bombing and that allegedly did it, my understanding is that he believed that people needed to have a choice, had the right to choose whether to be born.
I remember that.
Ridiculous.
And you
isn't
know,
that
Richard,
insane?
I had been out to California to preach. I know the place in Palm Springs where that bombing took place, and sadly, the young man. He either committed suicide or he himself died in the blast that he caused. But I remember in his manifesto, he said that it is wrong for children to be born, conceived and born without their consent. And I'm thinking, okay, that doesn't even make sense, does it?
No, it's more of this sort of insanity. The further man gets away from God, the more deluded, deceived, and divorced from true reality he becomes. God, of course, is truth and the author of truth. And, you know, ever since the Garden of Eden, the question has been, who's to say? Who gets to say what is right and wrong and true? And deep in our flesh is this desire to be the ones on the throne to get to say what's right, wrong, and true, and whether we get to do it or not. And when that rebellion, you know, the more freedom we give to that, the more death and destruction comes about. And we've got to stand our ground on this thing. We've got to be bold and unashamed. We have the winning side of this argument now and forever, and we should not be ashamed of it. God made us male and female, and he's ordained that for a purpose and for a reason. And we need to be teaching people to celebrate their sexual, how God made them, their sexual identity, their true objective sexual identity. If you're not comfortable in that for whatever reason, maybe you've been abused, maybe you've been neglected, maybe you were mistreated, or maybe you've just been lied to by the culture. You know, God offers redemption. He offers deliverance. Jesus said that whoever abides in my word shall be my disciple indeed, and he shall know the truth, and the truth Amen. Shall make you free. John 8:31-32. And as the church, we are responsible for ministering that truth in love to the people. And that's what we've got to do today.
Richard, legally, as an attorney, Do you think HB 1312 would be legally enforced? I mean, do you see people being prosecuted for misgendering someone? Here's a man in a dress who identifies as a female, but I say, excuse me, sir. I mean, do you really think legally that could stand to prosecute people that misgender or dead name someone?
Well, it shouldn't stand. It probably will stand up in Colorado courts, even all the way to the Colorado Supreme Court, because they've upheld similar stuff in the past. They thought it was just fine to prosecute Jack Phillips and the owner of 303 video. They'll probably do the same with this one. But I believe that ultimately the United States Supreme Court and any honest judge that interprets its precedent would strike down this law, because it's a blatant violation of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, and it should be invalidated.
Folks, tune in, because I've got a couple of questions to ask Attorney Richard Harris, and I think they could be profoundly beneficial. And here is a question, and Richard, I think you'll instantly know why I'm asking the questions I'm asking, but would you define the word immutable? In terms of our U.S. Constitution, Declaration, Bill of Rights, immutability regarding human beings, what does immutable mean?
Yeah, well, immutable, of course, that word itself is not in the Constitution, but what you're driving at there, I think, Alex, is the idea that an immutable characteristic means an unchanging one that cannot be altered. A person's race cannot be altered. A person's God-given gender cannot be altered. And as a result of that, because we're all created equal, these should not be grounds for discrimination in public life. You shouldn't be able to discriminate against a person because of their race or because of their ancestry or because of the nation that they come from. They can't control these things, and by and large, these things are irrelevant anyway. And so because we believe in the equality of all people, you know, that's morally wrong. When it comes to gender stuff, and I include the whole panoply here from sexual orientation, you know, that was the first one. That was the first one. And now it's not just sexual orientation, it's gender identity and gender expression. And there's another one in the mix somewhere. I don't remember what exactly it is. But now all these layer upon layer of perversions are being added, which are not immutable. This is a core issue of the debate. Are these things immutable characteristics? Well, the homosexual community, they want to say, yeah, they're immutable. I was born gay. I'm sorry, spiritually and biblically, that is absolutely not true. But even scientifically, that's not true. Most people that experience same-sex attraction or even gender confusion in their youth will grow out of it. By the time they're in their mid-20s, they processed and dealt with those contrary feelings and are living relatively normal and healthy lives. And even in the case where people are still experiencing those feelings well into adulthood, and I acknowledge those are real, those exist, that is an issue. It breaks my heart that people have to suffer like that. But there is still the opportunity for freedom and change, because the problem is not biological. The problem is in the mind, and it's how we think. And we've been, these people have been traumatized. Actually, they're victims of trauma for the most part. And the trauma can be healed by the love and the truth of God. And to tell us, for the courts and lawmakers in this country to say, you cannot offer that truth. You, like in Colorado now, it's against the law to counsel people who want to get out of same-sex attraction. They call it
conversion
therapy. That's unconstitutional as well. How can you ban that? You're saying we cannot help people who want to get out of this? That's insane. But that's where they are. They want to lock down and mandate their ideology on everybody, and we're just not going to have it. We're not going to submit to that.
You're listening to Attorney Richard Harris, Alex McFarland here on the American Family Radio Network. Richard, I've interviewed as recently as within the last month, I've interviewed former homosexuals, former transgender people who lived the transgender lifestyle. I've never met a former Hispanic. or a former Caucasian. So ethnicity is not the same as behavior, is it?
Well, no, absolutely not. And ethnicity is, it's not even a legitimate basis for choosing whether to offer a service or to include someone in your circle of influence or anything else like that. That's wrong. When it comes to gender, on the other hand, there are many occasions where that person doesn't belong. Like, for example, a boy should not be in girls' locker rooms. A boy should not play in girls' sports. There are times when men need to be separated from women for various reasons. And that is just common sense, Alex. And, you know, I'll take it a step further. I've never seen a boy become a girl either. What we're seeing today is boys pretending to be girls and girls pretending to be boys. Even if they have surgery and hormone therapy, they're still the gender they were born with, because at this point, science can't go into every single cell of your body and change the chromosomes to be male or female. You're made male and female, and it affects many functions of the human body, not just the external appearances or the sexual anatomy. So what we're doing is we're chopping up our kids is what we're doing, and
it's so
making
sad.
Them look like another gender. But it's all a fake. It's all a ruse. It's not real. And we can't abide by this any longer.
Okay. A week ago, I was talking to, I'm not going to name the school, I'm not going to name the students, because this is real and I do not want to cause trouble. But one of the most well-known medical schools in America, everybody listening would know this medical school. Three students, there was a class on gender-affirming care. It was taught by an instructor with purple hair in a bun. It was a male dressed as a female. And out of a classroom of nearly four dozen medical students, three said, you know, how do we administer medical care to patients that don't have the bodily organs corresponding to what they're asking for? And should we let the patient chart the course of care rather than the doctor? Well, they were sent to the dean of the medical school and had to write papers apologizing for asking questions. When we come back, we're going to talk with attorney Richard Harris. We'll take phone calls as well. Wow. If you want to call in, it's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. How our nation must have the courage and the presence of mind to speak truth, common sense truth. Stay tuned, more on the American Family Radio Network after this brief break.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
The term providence means God's superintending care over His creation.
America's Providential History with Stephen McDowell.
God is at work performing His will in history. And so through this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the providence of God in the history, and in particular in the history of America.
America's Providential History, available now on the podcast page at afr.net.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at afr.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Alex McFarland here, talking with Richard Harris. Spirit of full disclosure, Richard has been a friend for nearly a decade. We are colleagues. We both have the privilege of teaching at Karis Bible College. I've had the privilege for a number of years of teaching apologetics, biblical worldview, and then in the School of Practical Government, which is part of a third-year program. And it's just phenomenal. It really is. And Richard, before we, I've got so many questions I want to ask you, and maybe some of the listeners do as well. But again, tell us about Truth and Liberty, where people can watch Truth and Liberty, the School of Practical Government, people like David Barton and Bill Federer, and just some of the great leaders of our time speak out there in Woodland Park, Colorado. But just give us a couple of websites and tell us about where people can find you, Richard.
Well, thanks, Alex. Yeah, I've known you since we started Practical Government School, and we're now, I think next year will be the 10th year of it. And wow, it's been just phenomenal. And yeah. I think you teach more courses than any other individual in PGS. And you do such an amazing job, and we just love you, man. And but yeah, so Truth and Liberty, folks can find us on the web at truthandliberty.net. And our show that we do twice a week, Wednesdays and Fridays at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, so 8 p.m. Eastern, you can watch it live on our website at truthandliberty.net or on another website that the ministry hosts called GTN.com, Gospel Truth Network. You can catch our show there at the same time and many other programs on GTN, great Bible teaching. But the Truth and Liberty show also is on all your favorite social media platforms. I say all of them, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. What's the one for the young people? I always forget that one. But we're there. Yeah, the one that almost got banned. But
TikTok?
Yeah, TikTok. So I don't
for
know.
For real, you're on that too.
Yeah. So okay. We're all over the place, and our audience is growing, and it's going great. And we also, on our website, I want to mention, we have a resources center, Alex, that's one of a kind. Mm-hmm. Took us quite a while to build it, but we've got hundreds of resources on there. Everything from training materials on how to run for office, a voting resources center, and a pastor's toolkit. And it's searchable by subject matter and other things. Encourage everybody to check that out. The Practical Government School, as you said, is in the third year. It's a third-year program at Karis Bible College. Karis is based in Woodland Park, Colorado. It's an arm of Andrew Womack Ministries, and we have 1,000 students on campus here in Woodland Park. The third year has multiple schools. I think there are 7 schools, including Practical Government School, that train students in the areas that God's called them to. Business, worship, ministry. Our mission school is called Global Outreach, and Practical Government, among others. And so we are equipping students to engage the realm of government with a biblical worldview, with an understanding of America's Christian heritage. I think the students that graduate from our school, Alex, will know the U.S. Constitution better than almost any member of Congress. Mm-hmm. In fact, I guarantee that to be true. Not every member, but almost every member, better than most judges even, and most attorneys. And also will acquire practical skills. Like, you teach public speaking for us, how to handle a hostile media interview. We have former congressmen teach us on how to run for office, and many, many other amazing courses. So I am a real believer in the program. And if anybody wants to learn more, they can check it out on KarisBibleCollege.org. They can look up the third-year program and find Practical Government School there, KarisBibleCollege.org.
Well, thank you, Richard. Thank you very much. Before the break, I was telling you about a student that is in medical school. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say who, not going to say where. They had a class that was mandatory on gender-affirming care. Now, the particular instructor, don't know if it even was a full-out professor. It was an outside instructor. They said it was clearly a male, but dressed as a female, purple hair up in a man bun, but 3 students out of a class of about 40 said, how do we administer treatment for a patient relative to organs the patient doesn't possess? And the other area of conversation was, as doctors, once we become doctors, should we allow the patient to mandate a course of treatment that we don't feel like is medically responsible? Because, generally, you know, the medical professional, the doctor, charts the course of treatment. Well, long story short, and as this particular medical student was telling me this, the person was visibly upset, said, we three students were sent to the dean of the medical school. We were strongly reprimanded. We had insulted the instructor and bullied the instructor. And this person said, we did not. We were very respectful. But we just were basically saying, look, shouldn't we give medical care that is commensurate with the person's gender? We all three were made to write papers, they told me, apologizing, saying we won't do this again, and we in the future will go along with the gender guidelines that this medical school has embraced. There's just so many things in my mind that are wrong with this, and this is like psychological conditioning. But Richard, where's it going to stop when basically human biology and common sense say, look, there's truth and reality, there's delusion and misinformation? I mean, aren't we on egregiously dangerous ground when even doctors in training are being coerced to go along with what we know is false?
You're right. It's just another manifestation of the thought and speech control coming from the woke ideologues on the left, especially the LGBT movement. I was just watching a documentary last night, Alex, on communist China, and the stories of people who have dared to speak out against the regime and criticize the government for various things, and how they suddenly will disappear, sometimes never to be seen again, sometimes to reemerge years later, where their businesses are taken or they're forced to confess to crimes against the state and apologize for their errors. You know, there's no difference between what these med students just were put through and how communist China deals with dissent. And they weren't even, these students, based on what you're saying, weren't even dissenting. They were just asking responsible questions based on their understanding of medical science and their potential duties that they're going to be acquiring for themselves as doctors. There's a movement out right now fighting against this whole crazy transgenderism thing called Do No Harm. Family Policy Alliance has that name on it, and there are others, Dr. Morell and so forth, because this transgender medical treatment, it is not really medicine, is it? It's not trying to fix a medical problem or provide health for someone. No, it's mutilating the human body, making it operate contrary to its design in order to placate a delusion that the patient has. Well, it is irresponsible for a doctor to go along with that. It's an abuse of his privileges, and it does harm the individual. You know, these folks who go through gender therapy transition, they are permanently sterilized, brother. Yeah. They will never again, even if they recover from their delusion, they will never have the opportunity to bear children. They will never function properly. They'll never have, you know, normal levels of hormones and all the other functions that go along. I might be mistaken on the normal level thing, but you know, it's a terrible thing. And the detransitioners out there, people need to watch those testimonies. They're heartbreaking.
They really are. And suicidal ideation, you know, thoughts of suicide, self-harm, attempted suicide are exponentially higher in the lives of the people that have tried to transition to a different gender. And so, you know, I remember Dr. Phil was just eviscerated in the media several years ago, but Phil McGraw, Dr. Phil, he said these people with transgender inclination, they don't need surgery, they need counseling. And I mean, he was right.
Yeah,
so I've got a question. I'm so privilege. I want to say thank you for making time to be with us. So I was doing research for the program today, Attorney Richard Harris, and I found a paper from the Yale Law Review. It was from 2016, and it was an article titled Against Immutability. Against Immutability. And it basically was talking about that it was encouraging people, lawyers, attorneys, and I would assume students at Yale Law School, to reconsider the idea of immutable characteristics. And it just said, with the advent of gay LGBT considerations, we realize that immutable characteristics don't tell the whole story. And we've always understood the Constitution in terms of immutable rights, but and I'm sorry, it was Harvard Law Review, not Yale. It was Harvard Law Review. But we've got to now look at the Constitution against immutability. What are your thoughts on that sort of position, Richard?
Yeah, and I think I understand what you're saying. The idea there is originally civil rights law came about from a recognition that certain differences among human beings, external differences and the like, are not really a valid basis for discriminating against people in different areas, because they can't do anything about those differences, for one thing. And for another thing, they're irrelevant. And so immutable characteristics, we're all created equal and entitled to the equality under the law. And so we shouldn't allow discrimination in the law based on immutable characteristics like race or sex, for that matter. But always in the law, on when it comes to sex, there has been some discrimination allowed. What I mean by that is there are occasions where the sex of an individual is relevant to the actions of the government or to the actions of a business, for example, and so on, like letting women into men's bathrooms and vice versa, and this sort of thing. And so some level of discrimination, all discrimination means is applying a different standard, okay? Mm-hmm. So you're discriminatory, okay, in your decision-making. To completely obliterate or remove immutability as an element in deciding whether a class of people have a civil rights claim based on discrimination is cutting the rope that ties us to the dock, right? We will then be floating out in the ocean. On what basis do we believe that the discrimination should be unlawful? It's nothing more than the desire of the people that have whatever the characteristic is to be treated equally. But there may be on the other side many reasons or compelling reasons for the discrimination. But see, the LGBT movement especially wants to eliminate all that, because really what they're trying to do is they're trying to make homosexuality and all forms of sexual related thinking, perversion, and conduct, they want it to remove it from the realm they don't want it to be a moral or a religious question anymore. They want it solely to be a matter of choice and preference that no one can challenge and no one can speak against, okay? And that's where they want to go, and so that's why they want to sever the tie, they want to get rid of the immutability question. Because morally speaking, who you have sex with and is a matter of choice and conduct, and for which you are responsible. And it is a moral question. We cannot, as human beings, say that sex is an amoral issue. It is a moral issue, and God has established the standards for it. He's our creator and our designer, and we need to follow those standards. And the left and the LGBT movement, they want to silence that discussion. They don't want it to even happen anymore.
So the gay marriage decision of 2015 and other like legislation is vastly different from the civil rights legislation of the 1960s, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Well, it is, because to say that a man has a right to marry a man, you have to believe that that right exists because homosexuality or same-sex attraction, a sexual preference, is immutable. Right?
Hey, Richard, forgive me. We're almost out of time.
You're born gay, so it's wrong for us to discriminate.
We're out of time, sir. Richard Harris, thank you, and thanks for listening. Alex McFarland saying thank you for listening to the American Family Radio Network. Blessings to all.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.